Morning, everyone. It's great to be back here again, and can you believe that this is going to be the last time that we're going to be meeting online, unless, of course, something else happens and we have to come back to this. But a couple of weeks ago, Russ started a series, and the series is that we were doing is called From Surviving to Thriving. But he gave it another name that I actually quite loved, the first one where he said it's From Lockdown to Liftoff. And over the last 2 weeks, Russ has been taking us through the Bible and showing us the value of the Bible to us as the Word of God, and how it is both the rock that we stand on, but it's also the roadmap that we use to navigate this world. And today I want to springboard off of that and look at the Bible as the key to our spiritual growth and maturity. Now, you'll note that this is a very big topic, so I'm going to focus in on how we are to read the Bible, and hopefully to give us, at the end, a couple of practical handles that we can actually use in doing this. But to start off with, let's have a look at the Bible. And when you read the Bible, what are you reading the Bible for? And to me, the most important thing about the Bible, and I love the Bible, is that you go to it to meet Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus, the people who knew the Bible the best at the time of Jesus were the Pharisees. And when you consider the fact that there were so few copies of the Bible going around, and yet they were able to argue specific words and everything with Jesus and with others. And I wish we knew the Bible like that. Most of us have Bibles on our phones and we have access to it all over the place, but we don't actually have the knowledge that they had of the Bible. But it's interesting, they knew the Bible so well, and yet Jesus says to them, and if you want to read in John 5 verse 39, he said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." They studied the Bible and they got to know it in detail, and yet they didn't see Jesus in it. And yet that is the whole point of the Bible. The Bible is actually the written word revealing to us the living word. And it's where we go to meet Jesus. And we even see this even further, because now Jesus, he then... we know that he lived his life, he went to the cross, he died, and then on the third day he rose again. And after he had risen, he appeared to two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. And notice what he actually said to them. If you go to Luke 24, verse 27, and in Luke 24, 27, he says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So he was able to look at the whole of the Bible, and in everything in the Old Testament and the New Testament, he was able to see himself. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, whenever all the scriptures that we read in the Bible that tell us about the fact that the Bible is the Word of God are actually mostly referring to the Old Testament, because they are part of the New Testament that was being written. We do know that that Peter turned around and actually said that he recognized the writings of Paul as the Word of God. And so he recognized the fact that even the scriptures that they were writing, so the people writing the scriptures like Paul and Peter, they knew that they were writing scriptures as the Word of God. But in referring to the Old Testament, if you look at the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, it says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up," and it's the faith chapter, chapter 11, and it's telling us all the stories of faith of all these people, but they, all the people from the Old Testament, and here it's talking about Moses in the Old Testament. It says in verse 24 of Hebrews 11, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to his reward." I don't know if you've actually picked up what he actually said there. He actually considered that the reproach of Christ was of greater value than all the treasures he had in Egypt. Does that mean Moses knew about Christ? I mean, Christ only came along a couple of thousand years after Moses. But here he actually doesn't. Of course, we know that part of that picture is the fact that he pictured Christ. He is the one that went to the people to deliver the people out of Egypt, in the same way that Christ has come to us to deliver us out of a world of sin. And he played a role that introduced us to that Jesus was a sort of a pre-type of Jesus. But everything in the Old Testament refers to Jesus. And when we read the Bible, to get anything out of the Bible, let's not read it trying to see ourselves or see others or other things in it. Let's read it to meet Jesus. So that's the first important thing about it, if you're wanting to read and study the Bible, is read the Bible to meet Jesus. But there are other things. The Bible's also important for directing your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Now, this is one of the last letters that Paul wrote before he was killed. And towards the end, he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. First of all, note that he says there that all scripture is breathed out by God. Some translations say is inspired by God. We believe that everything in the Bible is the word of God. Now, what's interesting is you know that Jesus never wrote one word in the Bible. God himself never wrote anything in the Bible. We are told that he wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone. And maybe he was the finger that wrote on the wall in the time of Daniel. But everywhere else we have, everything written in the Bible was written by a man, was written by a person. In the Old Testament, it was people like Moses and maybe Samuel. And even King Nebuchadnezzar got to write something. But all of them were written by men. In the New Testament, it's a lot of the apostles, like Matthew and John and Mark, who was writing for Peter, and James, and then the one Gentile that actually seems to have written quite a large section of the New Testament is actually Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. But all of those are written by men. Now, God didn't actually come to them and dictate what to write. We believe he inspired them. So he used their personalities, he used their mindsets, everything about them to give us his words. But we believe that they are his words. We believe that as they were written in the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, those are the original inspired words. Those are the words that we can actually take and apply to our life. But we believe something more than that. And we believe also, if you look at that scripture, it says that it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The Bible is what we can actually take to guide and direct our life, to help us become more like Christ, to help us to be more Christian in how we actually live, and help us to navigate this world. And it says that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And we know that if you want to be complete, if you want to be whole, you can go to the Bible and it will actually help you in this. But we believe more than that, that the Bible isn't important just because of this. If you go to Hebrews 4 verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Do you notice that? The word of God is living and active. Living and active. It's something that's alive. Now, it's not alive in the fact of what we don't do is we do not worship the Bible. The Bible on its own is merely a good book. But it is the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit comes into the Bible, it makes it living and active. It's through the Bible that we can actually see Jesus. Through the Bible that we can actually learn about God. We can actually learn about what we need to govern through this life. But the Bible's living and active. It's what the main way that God speaks to us today. It's the main way that God can actually direct things. As a matter of fact, we get prophetic words sometimes from other people. We get prophetic words. Some people have had prophetic dreams. And God still speaks to us in those ways. But you know, all those ways, we need to test them to make sure they are from God. And the test that we can do, the main test we can do, is to check it against the Bible. The Bible is the standard that will check that. But the Bible is also living and active, in that God will use the Bible to speak to you in your day-to-day walk. And the things that you're doing day by day, the Bible can actually talk to you and help guide and direct you. And are we using the Bible for that? We need to be trying to apply those things to ourselves. As I said, we do not worship the Bible, though. So it's if you want to make notes on the Bible and that, and I knew someone once who actually took the Bible along and thought that if he placed the Bible in a room, that would make the room holy. The Bible is not holy. The Bible is merely leading us to the Holy One. it's leading us to Christ. It does mean we respect the Bible, and we should be going to the Bible in all that we're doing, but we don't worship the Bible. We worship Jesus. We worship God. So that's the importance of the Bible. But now, how do we understand the Bible? Because now, when you come to it and you look at the Bible, you'll see that it's made up of very many different parts. It's made up of different styles. Some of the Bible is written in narrative. It's written as in story form. As a matter of fact, most of the Bible is that. Most of the Bible is not. It's not a systematic book telling you how to understand things or how to do things or how to believe things or what we believe. It's the story of people's lives, of how they interact with God, and sometimes how they badly interact with God. So we actually learn from the negative example of their life, not the positive. But it's mostly the story of people and their walk with God and of how God interacts with us and all that we're doing. And that's important because that will help us to stay focused on when we come to it, how we read those passages. But other parts of the Bible aren't narrative. Other parts like Psalms and Proverbs and Job and Song of Solomon and even some of the prophets tend to be more poetic. They're written more in song form. As a matter of fact, they're huge pictures. It's picture language. Like in Psalms, it talks about the trees clapping their hands and the mountains dancing. And what I do know is trees do not have hands to clap and mountains do not dance. But those are beautiful pictures of the whole of everything rejoicing. If you've ever been in a place like here in Liverpool when we won the cup, it's like the whole of Liverpool erupted in praise and jubilation over that. And you could almost say that we even saw the buildings and the roads dancing and celebrating. Now, we know that they weren't, but that is the atmosphere that we had. And it's a picture that is painted. And so a lot of the time, when we come to the poetic, we read it. We don't read it literal, but we read it in picture language that makes it even more real to us, makes it more alive. So we need to know how we actually read this. And then, of course, there's whole portions of the Bible are actually in like letters written in the New Testament, or letters that are written to us, or dialogue that happens, and we're actually part of that dialogue. And it's interesting to try and understand of how they speak to us. Now, each of these different parts of the Bible, we need to read in those different ways. And there are many tools that we can actually get to help us to do that. But it's probably important, if you can, to go back and find out how the original people in the Bible times lived, how the way that they understood the message that was coming to them. Because as they understood it, is the way that God was actually speaking. It is probably the way we need to understand it now. Instead of trying to put a 21st century meaning on something that happened back in 0 AD, or about 40 or 50 AD, we need to try and understand how they were actually living and how they actually understood what was happening. So it is helpful to understand the background. It is helpful also to understand the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic to get a real picture of what is being said. But of course, most of us don't have those skills. So most of us have to rely on skilled people to come and tell us these things. And that's not wrong, because there is we do need to trust some people in doing this. And God has done this purposely for that we can now trust in what God is actually saying. So when it comes to these things, we need something else, even more than all of these skills, to help us navigate the Bible. And the biggest thing that we need is actually God's Holy Spirit. The Bible comes alive because it's living and active, because it's spiritual. It's God actually coming into us and helping direct what is being said. So more than all of this, we need the Spirit of God. And with that, if we just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, we will actually see what is said here. And it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, "And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The Bible is God's word. For us to understand it, we need to go to God. to get that understanding. And he has promised to give us his Holy Spirit to come in and guide and direct us, to actually help us understand. And that is one of the reasons why to fully really understand what the Bible is saying, you need to have a relationship with Christ. You need to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And then he can actually open up the Bible to your understanding. So those skills are all good in learning how to understand the Bible. But the most important thing we need is not just skills, we need the Holy Spirit to be with us. So if we have a look at all of that then, we need to come to the Bible and read it, trying to find Jesus. We need to come to the Bible and read it, learning how to direct our lives and how to live in this world right now, and allowing it to teach us and to correct us, using it as the standard that we're going to judge our lives by. And we need to come to the Bible and try and use all the skills we can to understand it, but actually go to God and ask him to open up our mind to understand this. So those are all great, but I did say in the beginning that I was going to try to give you some tools. And so the last point I want to make is that when you come to the Bible, read it. You know, it's all very well having all these ideas about what you're going to do, but maybe just read the Bible. And I know that when I first started to read the Bible, I started and I didn't know how to do anything. So I opened it up at Genesis 1 verse 1, started there and just started reading. And Genesis was a fantastic book. I really got quite excited at a lot of the stories. One or two chapters a bit heavy. Then I got to Exodus, and there's quite an exciting adventure going through Exodus. And then you get to a point where they start describing how he's going to build the tabernacle. And you get bogged down a little bit there. And then, of course, it gets exciting again. And then, of course, he goes back and he repeats the whole thing again. And it's like, wow. And then you end up getting into the book of Leviticus. And everything just sort of came to a halt, because there it's talking about offerings, and it's talking about holy days, and it's talking about sacrifices, and it's talking about priests and things that are clean and unclean. And you sort of think, how does this apply to anything that I'm doing now? But if you carry on reading it, what actually happens, as I said, you'll find that God can actually give you an understanding of that. But maybe the way you read it is to not just try to read it right the way through, but to start and start trying to read books that are a lot more easy. And there are a lot of Bible reading plans that can help you do that. Some people start with the books of like Genesis, Exodus, which is some of the story at the beginning, or the Gospels like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can start reading those. And there are a lot of plans that you can actually do. I would like to suggest one of the things that you can do is there's a group on YouTube called they have a series from the Bible Project. And the Bible Project actually gives you a little clip about each book before you read it. And they've set up a plan where you can read through the Bible in a year. And what they do is, as you're reading it, they give you a little clip on each book that helps you to navigate that book and helps you to understand that book. And it's a great tool for using for that. As a matter of fact, if you've got a study Bible and go look at the back, you'll often find they've got going through the Bible in a year. And I think it's very good for us as Christians to try and read the whole Bible. Now, what I do want to say is that, remember that the Bible is a book for you for life. Your goal shouldn't be just to read it in a year. It's good to do that because then you get to read all of it. But your goal is actually to read the Bible to meet Jesus. Your goal is actually to get into the book to find the man that the book is trying to introduce to you. And if it takes you your whole life to read the Bible, that's fantastic. You have your whole life to do it. But the important thing is to spend time in the Word. What is important is to try to do it systematically. Because often a lot of people try to treat the Bible a bit like they treat some of the people in the world treat horoscopes, where they'll go to the newspaper or a magazine and try to read the horoscope to give them direction on what they're doing in their day. And they'll read that one little verse and say, right, that's for me. And some people do try and treat the Bible like that. Whereas what we've got to realize, the Bible is not a horoscope. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the Word of God to us. And we need to go into it to find God and to allow him to guide and direct us. So start reading the Bible today. Another thing that you can do, so you can use things like the Bible Project, go to the back of your Bible and look at the year plans that you have. You can also, though, read the Bible with someone. Maybe if you're like in a home group, you can, as a home group, you can decide, or as a family, you can decide, we're going to read the Bible together. Or even if you've got a friend, decide you're going to read the Bible together. And I find that if you read the Bible with someone, that actually gives you a lot more sort of motivation to do it than if you just do it on your own. And then you can also have someone you can talk to. My mom, late in her life, decided to read through the whole Bible. And what she would do is we'd go around and visit her, and she would then ask me questions about the passage she'd been reading that day. And I think she got through all of the Bible before she died. It was, but she didn't have a set program she worked through, but she was just reading through it day by day. And we'd often arrive there and find her reading her Bible. And so that's the important thing, is to spend time in the Word of God, to allow God to speak to you. So God has given us such a blessing. What a gift He's given us. His words to help guide and direct our lives. His words to reveal to us Jesus. His words to tell us about God. His words to tell us how we can live today. And His words to show us how we can ensure that we go into eternity. So when we come to the Bible, in conclusion, let me just summarize all of that. When we come to the Bible, let's read it to meet Jesus. When we come to the Bible, allow it to speak into our life now and to point us to eternity. When we come to the Bible, try and read it with understanding, but more importantly, read it with the Spirit. Come to the Bible prayerfully and ask God to open up the Bible and guide and direct you through it. And when you come to the Bible, get a plan for going through the Bible so that you can systematically read it, so that you can actually spend time getting into the Word of God. The Bible is more than just a book. I believe what it says when it tells me it is living and active and able to look right into my heart, soul, and spirit. Don't be put off by just looking at it. Start reading the Bible today.